Welcome to Ringside with Eric Dean, presented by Mile High Sports. I am your Avalanche beat writer for Colorado Hockey Now, and of course, podcaster for Mile High Sports. It's been 5 days since my last show, but last time I was on this, I covered two games, which the Avalanche won against Anaheim and San Jose. Since then, Colorado has played two games. They've won both games. And once again, I got one show here to cover both of them. Starting with the game in Seattle, and it just kind of seems like, compared to the first two wins against Anaheim and San Jose, that these ones looked quite a bit better. I mean, you can't argue with the way that the Avalanche played against Anaheim. You could argue with the fact that they were pretty much playing from behind nearly the entire time until the third period where they got the lead. And then obviously, you never want to see your team give up a goal with 13 seconds left. But that was the type of win that, given the start they had, that was what it was going to friggin' take to win the damn thing. They get that one. They go to San Jose. They score first against the Sharks. And then it was just a game that slowly started to get away from them. You saw San Jose start to kind of take control of the game. You know, we had the two Ross Colton goals before San Jose scored late in the first period, a power play goal for William Eklund, and they took over. They outshot the Avalanche in the middle parts of the game, I believe late first to mid third, 16-6. They outshot them as a whole 26-22, but Eustace Annan stood tall. So now you have two games where one of them, you played pretty damn well. You almost got goal lead, and you had to play from behind. Obviously, some very rough officiating calls. And then the second game against the only team in the NHL that to this day, this game was 6 days ago, the one against San Jose, but to this day, they are still the only team in the league without a win. And you got outshot. You kind of got outplayed in the middle parts, but that's okay. Score affects. When you're leading, the other team's obviously going to be the one pressing more. You scored the first two goals. The last two look a hell of a lot better. It started in Seattle, and I want to get into that one first. The Avalanche, it kind of felt like in the beginning that Seattle was going to continue on with what San Jose was doing, and that's outshooting the Avalanche, outplaying the Avalanche, and just trying to find a way to get through the goalie, Eustace Annan, who's making his second start in a row. They couldn't do it. They struggled to beat him, and before the period reached its end, and actually just my favorite stat is I remember, because I watched this game on TV, I was not in Seattle on the road. I'm actually in Detroit watching these last two games. I've been in Detroit for the last 5 days with my family, preparing for 3 weeks from tomorrow, my wedding. Crazy. But I was watching the game on TV, and you know, when you get the game going, you're starting to watch, you're starting to get your, well, as a reporter, you're getting your Twitter going, you're getting your article, your notes, you're preparing to cover a game. And then lo and behold, I look up, the clock says 17:05. So the game's not even 3 minutes in yet. And obviously I was kind of watching from the corner of my eye, and then you look at the shots on goal, you know, tab for Altitude TV, and it says 6-0 for Seattle. So the Kraken had the first six shots. They ended up outshooting Colorado 12-5. But the hero that we never knew we wanted, Joel Kiviranta, with a minute 28 left, scores. After scoring against the San Jose Sharks, by the way, he gets a goal and makes it 1-0 to the Avalanche. For the Avalanche, I should say. In the second period, Colorado outshoots the ever-living hell out of this team, 17-5. Plays a far better period. You started to see them cycling and playing the way you know they could play. And you know, my favorite part about kind of this switch, just a little sidebar, I hope I can get back on track in a second, but my favorite part about this, like, switch, this switch that's been flipped about this team, the first four games compared to the second four games, is that they've not gotten anybody back. Like, it's legitimately still the same injured team. Obviously, Devontae's on defense. Sorry, they've not gotten any of the forwards back. In fact, not only have they not gotten the forwards back, they've since sent back Callum Ritchie to the Ontario Hockey League, which I'll get into. There's obviously another injury to another good player that we don't really know an update on yet. I am recording this Saturday morning. Like I said, I'm in Detroit. I'll be back in Denver later tonight, just in time for the games Sunday and Monday. So I will not be at practice, but Colleen Flynn at Colorado Hockey Now will. So we'll get some updates, hopefully, on the injury. But none of the forwards came back. They've just adjusted. Casey Mittelstadt through eight games has 5 goals and 4 assists. We obviously have a goal scorer who was injured in Ross Colton, who has 8 goals on the season. It's the same guys that we're losing are now winning. They figured out a way to make this top six work. That includes Logan O'Connor. That includes a rookie in Nikolai Kovalenko. That includes Ross Colton as a top line winger and not a third line center. So they outplay the ever-living life out of the Seattle Kraken, but Jared McCann scores the first goal of the period and ties it up at 1-1, but it doesn't even take 3 minutes, 2:59 to be exact, before the hero we never knew we needed, Joel Kiviranta, assisted by Kale Makar and Ivan, makes it 2-1. For Kiviranta, he gets that goal, obviously, his third goal in 2 games, his second goal of this game, and you heard a lot on the TV stream that they called it his first career 2-goal game. And that is true in a way because, you know, 99% of the time when you're talking about statistics like that, it is a regular season only statistic. Joel Kiviranta scored his first 2-goal game in the NHL when they played the Seattle Kraken on the 22nd on Tuesday. However, Joel Kiviranta has 1 career hat trick. Came in the playoffs, somewhere in Edmonton, even though they weren't even one of the teams playing, against the Colorado Avalanche in Game 7, capped off with an overtime game-winning goal in Round 2 of the 2020 Stanley Cup playoffs in September in Edmonton with no fans. That's going to be a memory he's going to have forever. And for those that don't remember that hat trick, I always like to mention that that was Joel Kiviranta's first game of the series, and the only reason why he got into that game is because Dallas had a veteran that was playing on the wing in the bottom six that was unable to dress because he was injured, and that veteran was none other than Andrew Cogliano. And knowing what we know now about Cogs, the special assistant or advisor to general manager Chris McFarland, it must have been a bad freaking injury to keep him out of Game 7. So Joel Kiviranta scores a hat-trick at that game. However, against the Seattle Kraken on Tuesday, that was Kiviranta's first career 2-goal game in the regular season, second career multi-goal game in general after that hat-trick against the Avalanche. Makes it 2-1. Nathan MacKinnon adds a power play tally and beats the clock with 8 seconds remaining in the second period. 3-1 for Nathan MacKinnon. And then, of course, Riker Evans beats the clock in the third period. Beats the clock in the third period and scores with 5 seconds remaining in a game that ended up being a win for the Colorado Avalanche. Because, of course, those are the 3 pieces of the top six right now that are probably going to stay in the top six when everybody's healthy. And you only got a goal and assist from them, of course. The highlight of this game being one Joel Kiviranta, Ivan having an assist and ending with a +2. These are the guys that were producing for Colorado. They came from the bottom six when most of their bottom six is already in the top six. 3 guys to be exact, Logan O'Connor, Ross Colton, and of course, Nikolai Kovalenko. So the Seattle game goes well. The Avalanche take it to the very next game against Utah Hockey Club. Seattle had been doing well. Utah had been doing really well. Of course, before the game, they had announced long-term injuries for both Sean Durzi and John Marino, 2 parts of their top 4 on defense, just huge, massive blows. That would be the equivalent of the Avalanche basically having Gerard and Taves out for 4 months or 4 to 6 months, like just crazy long recovery timelines for both those guys. Mikhail Sergachev's got his work cut out for him now. So the Utah Hockey Club at Delta Center, first game against the Avalanche. This is a team that we expect to be their new rival, and it was the best game Colorado's played all season. They did not give this team a chance. Not only was it their best win, obviously, in terms of, you know, winning 5-1 by 4 goals, but Utah had no chance. Their power play for the Avalanche continued to do its thing. Ross Colton from Mikko Rantanen and Casey Mittelstadt, less than a half a period, 9:54 into the first. Kale McCarr ends up making it 2-0 off a beauty of a shot from just above the circles. Seeing guy shot, as I like to call it. Kale McCarr from Mikko Rantanen and Nikolai Kovalenko. 2-0 before the end of the first period. The Avalanche outshot Utah 12-5. They took complete control of the game. This was something that I mentioned against San Jose as well, is that through the first five games of the season, the Avalanche had the lead for 5 minutes. Or let me say this, they played with the lead for 5 minutes. That includes scoring the opening goal against Vegas before Vegas quickly scored another to tie it up at 1-1. That includes against Anaheim, Ross Colton, making it 3-2 before Anaheim ties it. Or sorry, it was in the first four games, the first four losses, because the Anaheim game is when they finally started to play with the lead because Ross Colton made it 3-2 early in the third. And then they ended up giving up that game-tying goal to Troy Terry with 12.9 seconds remaining. So the first four games, they played with the lead for 5 minutes. Against Anaheim, they played with it with a little over 10 minutes. Against San Jose, that was the game where, if you guys remember on the last show, I talked about the importance of the fact that Colorado scored the first goal and did not relinquish the lead the rest of the way. They took a 1-0 lead. They took a 2-0 lead. The San Jose Sharks made it 2-1. Colorado never let them tie it up. This was the same exact thing. Against Seattle a couple nights earlier, Avs had a 1-0 lead. Jared McCann tied it up at 1-1. Colorado had to regain the lead. Against San Jose, against Utah, they got the lead. They never gave it up. All it took was 9 minutes and 54 seconds. When Ross Colton made it 1-0 at 9 minutes and 54 seconds, Colorado played with the lead for the next 50 minutes and 6 seconds. Again, the first four games, the four losses, they played with the lead for a little bit less than 5 total minutes. What a freaking difference. The power play's buzzing. Ross Colton from Mikko and Casey Mittelstadt. Kale McCarr 2-0 from Mikko and Nikolai Kovalenko. Second period, Casey Mittelstadt from Sam Molinsky and Nikolai Kovalenko. Ivan from Nathan MacKinnon and Casey Mittelstadt. 4-0 heading into the third period. Just an outstanding game for the Avs. Ivan gets his first career goal. Casey Mittelstadt's got a 3-point night. Nathan MacKinnon's got a couple points again. With an assist. Mikko Rantanen's got a couple of helpers. Nikolai Kovalenko's got a couple of helpers. You're starting to see guys deliver from all over the lineup. With a little under 5 minutes remaining, Lawson Crouse ended the shutout bid. But just to add insult to injury, 40 seconds later, 39 seconds to be exact, Joel Kiviranta, unassisted, beauty of a goal, beats the Kraken goalie, the Utah Hockey Club goalie, I should say, Karel Vemelka, his fourth of the season, his fourth in three games, three-game goal-scoring streak for Joel Kiviranta, 5-1 Avalanche. They completely obliterate this team. The shots were 26-26, but that doesn't matter again because the Avalanche are taking advantage of the opportunities they had. I love the fact that Ivan's goal was also on the power play, playing on the top unit because of a late change. He scored at 17:33. Dylan Gunther was sent to the box at 16:08. So this is a minute 25 into the power play, I should say. On the ice for the Avalanche, Kale McCarr, Nathan MacKinnon, Casey Mittelstadt, Mikko Rantanen, of course, Eustace Annan in goal. And like I said, the late change on the power play, you got Ivan playing on the top unit. Why? Because Ross Colton left the game with an injury. Late in the second period, I think he took a slash to the hand. They called it an upper body injury. At the second intermission, right before the third started, the team announced that Ross Colton would not come back with an upper body injury. Now, again, I'm recording this podcast. It's Saturday morning. I'm not going to be at practice. Colleen Flynn will represent Colorado Hockey Now there to get an update. This game was on Thursday. The Avs had Friday off. We are going to get an update now on Ross Colton. Is this going to be a scenario where he misses time? Where he misses a lot of time? Truly, truly, I don't know. There has been zero words on him. Nothing has come out since the injury happened. Could it be precautionary and Colton's going to be on the ice for practice? Possible. Could he miss a few games like Devontae's? Also possible. Could he miss long term? Also possible. I don't quite know if he broke any bones or anything. I don't think he did. But again, when he left, the Avs were already up 4-0. He already had a goal, his 7th of the season. I think I said 8 earlier. I meant 7. And, you know, he didn't come back. So Ivan jumps onto the first power play unit, and it seems like whoever they put there is making it work. I love the fact that if or when the Avalanche are healthy, Casey Mittelstadt's not even supposed to be on the top unit, let alone Ross Colton, who's one of the biggest or best goal scorers in the NHL right now, let alone some rookie named Ivan, who jumps onto the power play and scores on literally the first time he's on that power play, late in the second period, shortly after Ross Colton's injury. The one opportunity the Avalanche have had on the power play with an injured Ross Colton, and the guy replacing him scores on a shot assisted with a beauty of a pass from Nathan MacKinnon. Like, it doesn't get any better for a rookie than that. So the Avalanche obliterate this team. Eustace Annunen quietly makes another 25 saves. He has started the last 3 games. He has won each of those 3 games. And I'm genuinely curious to see what happens with the homestand. The Avalanche play on Sunday, the Ottawa Senators, very winnable game. On Monday, the Chicago Blackhawks, very winnable games. And then on Wednesday, they host the Tampa Bay Lightning. That's always a fun barn burner of a game when the Lightning are in town. I'm genuinely curious to see what happens with the goaltending. You know, we've seen this before. We've seen last year there were 2 guys in particular. There was the Edmonton Oilers with Jack Campbell, who's no longer even there. And there was the Toronto Maple Leafs with Ilya Samsonov. Both of those guys started the 23-24 season as the starters for their respective clubs. They both started so bad that both teams ended up taking those guys and sending them home, having them practice on their own, figure their crap out before they came back and joined the team. Ilya Samsonov figured it out. Jack Campbell did not. He wasn't even Edmonton's backup when the season ended. It was Calvin Pickard, and the starter, of course, was Stuart Skinner, who took the Oilers all the way to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. So we've seen that happen before. We've seen this season the Pittsburgh Penguins have a rookie in Blomqvist who's been winning games for them, Nedeljkovic who's been doing well for them, but their starting goalie Tristan Jarry was sent home for the same reason: he's having a poor start to the season. The Avalanche didn't do that with Alexander Georgiev. In fact, the goalie they picked up off waivers in Kaapo Kähkönen was sent to the American Hockey League for a conditioning stint because he had come off an injury and then off of the visa issues after he was picked up from the Winnipeg Jets as a waiver claim. So the Avalanche have the opportunity to let him play 3 American Hockey League games before they have to officially place him on waivers or keep him on the lineup, or keep him on the big club in the lineup, I should say. The Colorado Eagles were in Calgary to take on the Wranglers on Friday. And Kaapo Kähkönen got the starting goal. Colorado took a 2-0 lead before, unfortunately, for the Eagles. 3 straight goals for the Wranglers, 2 of them in the third period. Kähkönen faced 33 shots, 3 goals against. So he got sent down instead. I would imagine at some point he's going to get called back up. I would imagine at some point the Avalanche are going to give him an opportunity. They just want to get his feet wet a little bit, get him going, and then he'll be back up with the big club. What happens to Georgiev then? I'm not sure. Against the Anaheim Ducks, he steadied the waters quite a bit. That first goal was the net mouse scramble where it looked like the puck was covered. The second goal was the ridiculous missed puck out of play call. The third goal, Troy Terry, you're going to want to have that one back. But then Annunen comes back and settles things way the hell down. So, of course, in Georgiev's last game, in the last 45 or so minutes, that includes overtime, that includes the second and third period, and then late in the first, he didn't let in a goal. He only let in 1 goal, but he also didn't face a lot of shots. And then Eustace has calmed things down. So the Avalanche aren't doing what the Penguins did with Jarry, or what Edmonton did with Jack Campbell, or what Toronto did with Ilya Samsonov last year, where they sent them down or sent them away to practice on their own from the team. Georgiev is still with the team. He's still backing up Eustace Annunen. He's still there, but Eustace has gotten the last 3 starts. We, of course, are entering a back-to-back both at Ball Arena, which is nice. The Avalanche don't have to have a back-to-back with travel, whether home or away. You got Ottawa and you got Chicago. I would imagine Anonen's going to get one of them. I wouldn't be surprised if Anonen gets the game on Monday, because he has shut out Chicago twice in a row, and the Avalanche might want to get Georgiev back into a game here after coming back feeling good from a road trip. But I would imagine Georgiev is 100% starting one of these games. Or maybe you start Anonen against the stronger Ottawa team and Georgiev gets Chicago. Either way, I'm genuinely curious to see what happens with the goaltending situation here, what happens with Kaapo Kähkönen, because again, he wasn't sent down to the AHL. He's on a conditioning assignment, a conditioning stint. He can only play, I think it's 3 games, if I'm not mistaken. I should probably fact check that before the Avalanche have to bring him back up or officially place him on waivers to send him down, at which point Winnipeg can claim him right away. But I'm really curious to see what happens there. It'll be something to watch. I also love the fact that it's Saturday, October 26th. The season started 17 days ago in North America, when you don't include the 2 games between New Jersey and Buffalo and Prague. And 17 days into the regular season, the Art Ross Trophy leader right now, all alone with nobody tied, is defenseman Cale Makar with 15 points in 8 games. What a slouch. He only had 1 point against Utah. It was also his first game of the season without an assist. This dude is playing out of his freaking mind. Over the last 5 games, which if you remember goes back to the game against Boston that Colorado almost came back in before beating Anaheim and San Jose and Seattle and Utah. 4 wins, 1 loss. In those games, Cale Makar's got 3 goals. Cale Makar's got 7 assists. Cale Makar's got 10 points. Excellent play from that guy. He's unbelievable. And I'm really excited to see how long he can keep this point streak going. We'll get an update here on Ross Colton hopefully soon. By the time you're listening to this, we might already have an update on him. But with that, I'll talk to you guys after these next couple games. Maybe I'll do one after the other. Just depends how it shakes out with the back-to-back. And if I have time to get a podcast in between Ottawa and Chicago. But if you made it this far in the podcast, bless your pretty little hearts. Let's make hockey for everyone. And we out you.